This is HPR episode 2501 entitled HPR Community News for February 2018 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 48 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in February 2018.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio Community News for February 2018. Joining me tonight is...
Hi everybody, hi Ken, it's Dave Morris.
So this is a monthly look at what's been going on in the last month here on HPR. It's presented by HPR volunteers. This month it's pretty much Dave and myself. We schedule this for the first Saturday. What's the logic there, Dave, again?
It's the Saturday before the first Monday of the month. I had to think about that.
What could possibly be simpler?
Oh, what?
Anyway, can you welcome our new host, please?
Now you've got me, because I didn't line it. No, it's all right. I didn't line it up. I thought I'd got everything lined up, and not this one. So, our new hosts this month are RSR, whose name is hard to... read until you hear him say it.
Yes.
And M. Pardo. I think I got those very right.
Good. And welcome to both of you. As you may or may not know, HPR is a community podcast network, and that means we accept, in fact, we thrive on, in fact, we require people in the community to contribute shows. That's how this works. If everybody sits down on their hands, then nothing will get done. So please always have a few shows ready to rock and send it in. Do not be in any way embarrassed about the topic or about your quality of your show or whether you'll think people will find it interesting or not. That all turns out to be completely immaterial at the end of the day. So what we do for the first part of this show is we go through the shows that have been presented in the last month. Sorry, I've had a really, really tough week and I'm suffering a little bit from a cold. And so if I'm a bit more dithery than normal, that's the reason. Anyway, it was a show by JWP and it was about an Intergraph workstation, which I listened to on the bus going on my way home, and about how he got it back together again and the amazing effort he went to be able to do this, that he was able to twig that he needed to disconnect power in order to be able to power up the processor. It was an amazing journey. Not something I'd ever do myself, but an amazing journey.
He's a man not easily daunted, is the message that comes across. Plus also somebody has access to some very strange and wonderful system.
Indeed. So some of the Intergraph people haven't spotted this show yet because there's no comments. So we'll go on to the next one, which was also has no comments, but that's possibly because it's the first of a three-parter. What's in my podcatcher? Something we probably all should do. And there were this is from Ahuka, and some interesting shows here I found.
Yes. I particularly like the whole process of people talking about the feeds that they're listening to, because you get a deeper insight into what they're all about. So personal recommendations are cool.
Yeah, it's actually great to know what to expect as well. And I think we'll be discussing that on one of your shows this month as well. And then we had the community news. Obviously, we didn't say anything too controversial there, Dave, because nobody commented. Either that or the comment system has broken in the last 2 minutes, which could very well have happened.
No. It's rock solid. Rock solid.
Okay, moving on. ICA, sorry, LCA, LinuxConf AU, crikey, with Katie McLaughlin. A very, very, very cool show there by Clinton
Roy.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes.
And sorry, I was distracted there by the corrected audio available. And there is one comment on that, and that I can't seem to read it. Can you read it there? There must definitely be something wrong. Yeah, no, we'll have to skip that and move on to the next show. Which was Useful Functions Bash 4, episode 4.2.4.8.3. A range of bash functions for listing, for parsing lists of numbers and ranges. As always, Dave, needed to be in a mental right place to be listening to that one. But your full show notes really do help, I thought. I've given up trying to do them in my head. I follow along with the show notes.
Yeah, I don't think I ever expected people to try to understand them without seeing the notes. That's why I'm constantly referring to the notes. So
it's not that I'm following. You know, I will take out my phone, I'll read through the notes, and then I'll just listen to the rest of the show, and then maybe refer to the notes twice or three times. So it's not that bad.
No, but it's hard to talk about a script and what it does and stuff without actually having notes and keep referring to them and that sort of thing. So it's, you know, online blah, it's got such and such. You need to see them or listen to them or whatever you're doing. So yeah. Anyway.
So the following day we had a breezy look into the big idea means in storytelling. And this was what's turning out to be a little bit of a series, I guess, from Lost and Bonks about the whole concept of stories and basically his thoughts on stories and character development and stuff. And what do you think of this one before I express my opinions?
Well, it's I'm enjoying these if they are a series, but I'm enjoying the concept of looking at the guts of stories and storytelling and so forth. So it's good to see behind the scenes in this sort of way. I find it interesting from that point of view.
I found it because I think I spoke, was it last month or something, about going back to reread Asimov's stuff. Which
yes.
Incidentally, yeah. I just bought a book for my son in the secondhand book store. But at the time, I was fascinated by the stories. And then going back and rereading them now, I feel like they're lacking, and that some of the other stories, one of the best stories that I've read or listened to actually was from the Escape Pod series, which I'm actually going to submit it. They do all their stuff under Creative Commons. I will submit this as one of the episodes. They're absolutely brilliant show, and there is a big idea in that, but it's in the background, and it perfectly describes how I think Asimov or the storytellers in the 50s relied very much on the big idea. It was a great insight into that. It made me feel a little bit less guilty about not liking not enjoying the Asimov stories as much as I had before.
Yeah, points of view change as you go through life, I guess. It's the way I reason it anyway. My late father was a very keen reader, but he got bored with reading novels. He went entirely towards factual things as he got older, and I feel myself doing the same. I'm not sure if it's something to do with getting older or more cynical or something. I don't know what it is, but it I've heard of people where that does tend to happen.
Yeah, I found myself not reading as much because I don't want to get caught up in the story as much. I don't have the emotional reserves necessary to be able to deal with it. You know, I'm a sucker for a cheap shot, and then I feel like I've got conned into feeling emotion for a character that didn't deserve it just because of the way the thing was structured.
Yeah.
Which is why I read Terry Pratchett a lot, because you know exactly what's going to happen.
We've talked about this before. That I'm plowing my way through the Pratchett biography of the books.
Exactly.
I can't think of the word I wanted to say there, but I'm up to Pyramid so far, and First time I read that, I didn't enjoy it very much, and I'm really enjoying it second time.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I had the same experience. I think it's also a lot to do with that I'm listening to a lot more In Our Time podcasts, and you get to experience a lot of the stuff. You know, entire episodes have been basically parts of the book, you know, with Small Gods. They had yes. just done an episode about the philosophers in ancient Greece. It was like, he's just copied all of these, but made it funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can often see where he's got his ideas from. But yes, he's done a brilliant job on and turning them into a novel.
And it's amazing how we're commenting about Terry Pratchett books. Anyway, the following day we had... instead of doing what we're doing, which is commenting about the Alien Brothers podcast, I saw The Invisible Man. This was a discussion of the now old, by internet standards, News of New York Times piece about real, I guess, estate.
I had difficulty finishing that sentence, I have to say. Yeah. I meant to write to them and ask them what I was supposed to say, but they obviously didn't notice that they'd run out of the 100 character limit when typing that. But, yeah, they are interesting and amusing to listen to. They have the process of hopping around between different themes and subjects and stuff is quite interesting, and I still find them a little bit too long, and that's not a criticism. I'd want to, if it was me, I'd want to sharpen things up a little bit, but maybe people are saying same thing about what I do, but you know, it's I certainly found quite a lot there that made me smile.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting into their shows. Long may they continue. So the next day, some stuff I bought at a recent amateur radio rally by Mr. X, with an example of a bun and some iron brew.
Yes, yes.
Do you want to read your own comments there to that?
Yes.
For the people who don't know, an amateur radio rally is where so car boot sale, I guess, a front yard sale, is that what the Americans call it?
Garage sale, that
could be something like that.
It's and Mr. X found some quite cool stuff, I thought, including a cheap Kindle, which so I just had to say, it's quite a haul, my comment here. I envy your finds. I didn't know there were such events in this part of the world, because Mr. X can't be too far away from where I live. So
No.
I did not know that there were such things. I didn't actually catch where it was, but he probably wants to keep that quiet to keep the unwanted out of the these things.
Absolutely, yeah. Didn't want any pretend Scottish people trying to turn up.
To bring my English kilt with me or something.
Yeah. Simple LibreOffice repo for Fedora. What an excellent idea. Not only for LibreOffice, but for just having your own repo for putting in stuff, whether it's Debian or Red Hat. This is a brilliant, brilliant idea. And also, now that I see it, he managed to get the pipe character in to the tabs, because we're having a lot of problems with the pipe character right at this moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the show. Yes.
There's certainly a lot of pipes in there, for sure. Yes, we'll have to talk about how he might have managed to do this, but maybe he came through a different route than the usual one.
Well, for some background history, just 2 minutes. I was 2 minutes before posting the show. The feed validation failed because one of the shows that I posted had a pipe pipe character in it. And when I replaced it with a hit, when I replaced that character, then the feed is now valid. But the feed is valid with this in it as well. So I'm just going to copy and paste whatever code he's used for this, and that renders. So problem solved.
Yeah, yeah, very strange. Anyway, yes, it's certainly an interesting idea there. It was. He's got some cool thinking behind what he's doing there.
Yeah. And especially if you're doing stuff on a network, and I was thinking with the likes of, like, if you've got a Raspberry Pi network somewhere which you're controlling by Ansible, just hypothetically speaking, that you could have a central repo for the stuff specific to your company that you, or, you know, your own scripts that you want to update, then yeah, you can push them out, but you could also have them, you know, do an apt-get update, an apt-dist dist update, you know, managing your own repos. So if people have done that, have managed their own repos or are managing their own repos, show on the benefits and hazards of doing that would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's an interesting subject. You can do it with Windows, or have been able to do it with Windows, can't you? I'm sure that's what the Windows guys at my last job did for updating hundreds and hundreds of Windows machines all over the university. A local. Yeah.
No,
local
you can copy. Definitely, you can definitely do this on Linux. Nearly a problem. The following day, we had the psychology of love, specially put in for February this 14th, which was the first show for. And I remember. Can you give me the name again?
Yeah, I have to do a double take. RSR.
Sorry, coffee off mic.
All right.
Push.
Did you hear me?
Choke.
RSR.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. This was first show and an absolutely excellent show, combining two of my favorite things, shows for a start. And this was one of the few episodes where I was actually able to engage in a conversation with my wife about it. Not because, you know, it's a love episode, of course it is, but the whole neuroscience and the theory of mind and all that stuff is right up our street. So we had a good old chat about that. And I love the idea that the analogy about the about people think it's unromantic to say love is a chemical reaction, in the same way looking at a poem it's just a series of words or words to that effect. Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, I found this very interesting. I listened to it I think three times in total, because he had some very detailed descriptions of things here, and I was making notes about it because it's my background in biology and animal psychology interested in all this sort of stuff. So, but the sort of sociology aspect of it, the ask culture versus the guest culture, never heard anything about that. That sounded most interesting.
Yeah,
look into that. So fascinating. An excellent first episode.
Yeah. And we expect even better now the next episode. No, we don't. Put out a crappy old episode. Lower the bar there.
I made a note to myself that I love the sounds in the background. He's obviously got he's not too far away from a main road, because those background tootings of horns and stuff sounded you know, quite distinctive.
Yeah,
I'd love to know where he was.
Good episode.
Yeah.
Lost in Bronx creates a tiny video file.
Comment from Win.
Our first comment this.
There was a comment from Windigo who said, "Welcome. Quite a topic for a first episode. I enjoyed it and look forward to your next submission." Smiley face.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Anyway, context is everything. And if I was a real podcaster, I'd go back and edit out the bit where I said where I'd moved on. But anyway, I'm not. Have I lost you?
No. I was just going to say to air is human, so we'll just live with it.
Super. Yeah. How Lost in Bronx really managed to get down the size of these files, which is something that we need to do for HPR as well. And I commented on this, been there, done that. See what I did there, Dave? See what I did there?
Yes.
It's funny that you have to put in brackets, deliberate typo, Dave. Or I get an email from Dave. Can you do realize that you typed that wrong?
You've never received an email about comments in your whole life.
No, I have not, Dave.
Comments are sacred as far as I'm concerned. If you write it that way, it stays that way.
Okay, number one. Yes, you describe why I hate forums. I don't think he intended to describe why I hate forums, but yes, you ask a question and the very next question is, oh, you shouldn't do it that way. And then suddenly everything's derailed. But also, I wanted to know really why people are on the assumption that this network is all about getting answers to stuff, you know, or getting, here is this cool thing I've done, it's finished. But it can also be, here's a problem that I'm really stuck with, I need your help to solve it. So that entire first half of that episode could very well have been, right, this is what I'm trying to do, it's a really weird one, has anybody got any help whatsoever on this topic? And I happen to know that there are several FFmpeg people on the network who would definitely be able to do follow-up shows on that. So,
good point. That's a good point. It is very much the norm that that we as a community offer up solutions rather than questions. So yeah, there's scope for that, and it would be quite interesting to start those sort of conversations too.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I'm doing. Here's why I'm trying to do it. Here's why I must use this tool. Or yeah, basically yeah, a good thing to spawn shows, I think. And what's on my podcatcher too? This was a hookah show, obviously. And some of the things on here, obviously, Hacker Public Radio and healthcare, you think, hey, hookah. And then I hear of Sherlock, and you just get another, and the Muggle cast, you just get another view for into somebody's interests and likes by their podcast recommendations.
Like, yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? I thought this to myself. It's the number of overlaps with things I listen to, but also Kate Bush.
It's
fascinating how the interests of our community. It's good insight.
Yeah, very good. And the next day we had some news with Phoenix, who's one of the security guys. Had Phoenix technically and back doing some stuff on security here on the network. Very nice to hear it again.
Yeah, this was most interesting, actually. I processed the notes and was fascinated to see that I'd usually check the links just to make sure there's no errors. And the first one about Sci-Hub is very relevant, having a daughter who's currently finishing her degree, and business of access to journal papers and stuff is very relevant, and you know, all of that. It's a huge big subject. It's, you know, Aaron Schwartz and what he tried to do, etc. So very interesting piece of news that to point out to us. It's I love these sorts of shows that, you know, raise our attention towards things that we might not have noticed otherwise.
Yes. And speaking of making stuff public, my wife and I were in a discussion. Well, actually, who was it? Lost in Bronx did a show a long time ago about where the topic about autism came up. And I mentioned to my wife that we should do a show about it. And she said, well, I'll write down some notes. And a page of an email turned into, you know, a booklet, and the booklet turned into a thingy, so it has actually turned into a full volume one of a book, which has just been released. It's an ebook, actually. It's called Duidelijk Autistisch, and the English version will be called Clearly Autistic. And it's a journey through the theories and the history behind autism, and all the different aspects of that. So remind me to put a link in the show notes, any Dutch people or people who speak Dutch. The book is available, and you can forward it on to whoever you like, because it's released under Creative Commons CC by SA. And when the English version will be translated, it will be released on this network. So
wonderful.
2 years yes. of some serious work on that.
Yeah, it's yes, applause is due here. I think that's a hell of an achievement.
Okay, an evening subway ride, which was a subway ride from Toronto subway from College Station to Shepherd Young Station. And yeah, brilliant. I loved it. Clint Roy said.
Did you want me to do that?
I'll do that one because, okay. Let me see how we do this. Tinter Roy says, swapping in, it's been many a year since I was in Canada. Are there the rubber wheeled ones? Are these the rubber wheels ones? Which is something I didn't even know was a thing until I read these comments.
And RWA replies, HPR 2492, that's this one, an evening subway ride, he says. And I recently moved to Atlanta, Georgia, USA, and it's been years since I used the local subway. Here they call it MARTA, Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority. It's a combination of subways and buses. This past weekend I decided to give MARTA a try. The Toronto subway sounds just like the Atlanta subway, and no, I didn't fall asleep. I rode the subway for 3 hours, only saw one person asleep.
And then Badro said, screeching wheel tires. The Toronto subway trains have steel wheels. The Montreal subway trains have rubber tires. For more details, gives a link, which I followed, which was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't follow that one yet. Yeah, fascinating subject.
Yeah.
Are you going to read yours then?
Yeah, I did. And I also said meta. I was sitting in a train listening to a podcast of someone sitting in a train.
I love these things. I do absolutely love it. My daughter's getting worried about her exams coming up and stuff. And she won't mind me saying, I'm sure, but she sleep as a student can be difficult. And I said, you should listen to this. You know, a bit of ambient sound in the background would be nice. So
yeah.
I don't know if she has, but she's looking for some sort of ambient thing to help her sleep.
I was thinking, I actually ended up, as I was writing this, and the reason I normally don't comment on shows directly, but I was listening to the show, and then I went and found myself doing a repeat on it, because I hadn't reached home yet. It was just really bizarre. So my commute is actually longer than his.
Yeah. Yeah,
actually, the train part of my commute is longer than his train.
Yeah, it's amazing, though, how pleasant these sorts of things can be. You know, you can just sort of drift away to listening to this sort of thing. I don't mean sleeping necessarily, but just be doing some other things, and somehow you're absorbing the atmosphere of the sounds there.
This whole soundscape thing is must say very enjoyable sort of shows. I never think starting off that they're going to be as enjoyable as they turn out to be. Strange.
Yeah, but it's something about listening to the sounds of different parts of the world, the human world or whatever, natural world. It's fascinating.
So the next day we had your update on YouTube subscriptions, and I still haven't done mine. Big Clive is on there. Absolutely excellent. Computerphile. I had a look at Explaining Computers. I subscribed to that one. The rest, I had a quick look. And Winter Garden, I'm also had also subscribed to. So quite cool. And Izzy Swan, I think I may have.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
again, it's another look into somebody else's preferences. And
yeah. There's been additions to the list since last time, so I think it's well worth updating people about them, because, you know, if you enjoyed the first one, then maybe you'll enjoy the subsequent stuff.
Indeed. Hipster said, entertained. I can't wait to look at these YouTube pages. So many interesting subjects. Thanks.
So this time I commented back. Enjoy, I said. I hope you enjoy some of the channels I mentioned. You could contribute some of your own recommendations at some point. I'm sure they'd be appreciated, smiley face. Oops. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did, Dave. I am noticing these things. Soon I will not be needed on this network. And then we had the Nicholas Steelhouse interview by Clinton Roy. I could have sworn I saw a comment from Clinton Roy this month. Must have mislaid it somewhere. Crikey. Anyway, yeah, very good about the accessibility workshop. And
I was fascinated that Nicholas Steinhardt commuted all the way from Canada for this conference, and he was giving a talk there, obviously. But his view of linuxconf.au was that it was a prime instance of a conference at the world level, which I'd certainly gotten the impression that it was something, you know, special in terms of Linux conferences. But it's good to hear that sort of confirmation from an attendee. I'd love to go.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure I can. Yeah.
No. You can't go to Fostem. I don't think I'll be able to check out the shekels to go down to. I'd love to go, though. But did you notice, when I was listening to it, I was going, hold on, why would he be first on and last off the airplane? And then I realized at the end that he made the comment that, in a wheelchair, you always have the best seat in the house. So, this is the beauty of podcasting. Your preconceptions about somebody is completely gone. You know, you're not biased as a result of somebody's physical appearance.
Yeah. He was a very entertaining guy to listen to. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely, yeah. And the next one was 10 years of Zoak. Oh dear, HPR 40. Wow, 10 years. Clucking hell.
Yeah, Well done, I say.
Exactly. Wow. Congratulations, Clinton Roy says. It's a milestone I can work towards.
Yeah, yeah. He's not lost his accent, as Soak. He still sounds very British. good for him.
But a lot of the statistics are Oh, don't get me started, Dave. Don't get me started about statistics. But the reason for the episode 9999 is it's been so high is because it's the one I use to test anything. I pop it up to episode HBR 9999, and that's why that one's popular. But popular, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, well, there will be more statistics that people can examine for themselves as we continue using archive.org, and I think Zoak made that point as well, didn't he?
Yeah, it's a bit of an unfortunate time to be looking at the analysis, but because of the move now, all our feeds will be over there. But I completely have no faith in the download numbers, you know, in the early days, because we were getting hits from spammers all the time, and anything that had an MP3 file was being downloaded by, you know, those MP3, you know, where it was back at the time of Napster and all those websites hosting MP3 files and stuff. So we were getting hundreds of thousands of downloads at the time.
Yeah, it's not a very exact art, I would imagine.
Yeah, but as I say here, I think the best way to measure, this is my personal opinion, not anybody else's, but the best way to measure the impact of your show is the number of people that have commented on it, the number of people who come back and say, thanks very much for doing that, or built on it, or who are using your show, or who are inspired by it. And, you know, the only way we will know that, Dave, is if somebody gives feedback. That is the most important currency that you can have as a podcaster, is the number of people who have emailed you or thanked you or done follow-up shows.
Yeah, true enough.
Speaking of you, the next show was making a Raspberry Pi inventory. Thank you very much for putting this up. I think I prompted you to do this, if I'm not mistaken.
It was something we talked about for a while, I think. So, yeah, it's been hovering in the background, this particular thing, for a while, but given the hole in the queue,
yeah,
get it done pretty quick.
Be Easy said, directly into my toolbox. Thanks, Dave. I have half a dozen pies myself. The script will go directly into my script toolbox. Your mind is a treasure trove. Please keep digging.
Yes. Thank you very much. I said, thanks, Be Easy. Hope you find the script useful. Suggestions for improvements and enhancements are welcome.
And there's a episode in the queue from Be Easy about your script. I've just posted it.
Yes, so exactly. Absolutely, yes.
Awesome. He makes you happy by using the script. He makes me happy by generating another show. I mean, this guy is, not only should we thank him for his awesome work on the GNU Awk series in cooperation with you, we should really thank him for making shows for us.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing that one. Not for self-aggrandizement, but just to know how he's made use of this. Because you write a thing for yourself and you give it, sort of hand it out to the world, and you think, is that a pile of rubbish or not?
Yeah.
It's good to know if it's not too rubbishy that's useful to somebody. That's a great feeling.
And the following day, we had the first of the HBR New Year's shows, and I need to post the remainder of them, but there's now, fortunately, a backlog in the queue. I would ask people now, during the month, we had a shortage of shows. We were very, very low, and people are filling up the queue, but please, please, please read the scheduling guidelines. You should always have an audio recording ready to upload before you pick your slot. Always try and fill any free slots that are available in the coming week. Only week. If the queue's already filling up, please leave some slots for new contributors. If you have a non-urgent show, then find an empty week and schedule on them then. And if you're uploading a series, please consider scheduling one every 2 weeks. So, because everybody now is sending in a big bunch of shows one after the other, and then The queue was full, and then in 3 weeks' time, we're back to square one again, where we're asking for shows. So people uploading shows, please leave space. There's now 3 weeks completely full until there's a free slot. So if somebody was just ambling along going, hey, I think I'll want to do a show, but I want to hear it now next week, there's no free slots. So yeah, psychological mind, people, we need to keep those free slots for people to continue contributing shows. And nothing cheers me up more than seeing weeks, you know, the whole calendar full with at least one every week, having one or two shows in. Yep,
good thinking. Well, this I saw this one in the queue, 3 hours 40 minutes. I said to my son and his girlfriend, we're in, I said, wow, look at this, it's so huge. And I was sort of slightly daunted at the prospect of listening to something so long. I loved this was fantastic. It's just so interesting. I plugged my ears with this for an entire evening while I was doing other things, and I it didn't feel like nearly 4 hours at all. I enjoyed it a lot. So congratulations to everybody for doing a great show, as far as I'm concerned.
And I must say, Casper did an almightly good job filling in the show notes all the way
didn't
through.
He yes he's
brilliant. And he's a nice guy.
Yeah. I really enjoyed his approach to this. He wanted to make sure there was no dead air. He was doing his station IDs of his
exactly.
Playing nice little things on the guitar and stuff. Yeah, amazing.
It was nice to personally, it was nice for me to chat with Klaatu as well, who I don't get a chance. Oh, I chat quite a lot with him, but I don't get a chance to talk to him face to face.
Yeah, great. It was good. And there's some pretty good notes, actually. They needed a bit of massaging. I just go on about this because this is what I do. But they turned out pretty well listening to the show and looking at the notes. They do seem to cover it pretty well, I think.
Yeah, it was very good. So the following day, we had Life Without Google. Quibnu goes a month without G apps on his phone, stealing a show that I was planning on doing this weekend.
Oops.
Well, no, there you go, it ain't a show if it ain't on the server. He got in first. Yeah, so awesome. And I also had a few tools that I would not have thought about either, so very good.
Yeah. No, some real gems in here.
Yeah,
for a show that was only 4.5 minutes long, there's some pretty intense stuff there, many of which I haven't followed up yet but want to.
And then the following day we're into March, so we can stop right there.
Absolutely.
Shall we go over the other comments that came in?
Yes, indeed. Yes. I have to take my hand off the keyboard while I change tab. So, excuse me. Yeah. Yep, we're good.
So we had HPR comment on What's in My Ham Shack Part 2 by Mr. X did. And he commented, Hi, Klaatu. Many thanks for your kind words. Glad you found it enjoyable. Sorry for taking so long to reply. I only just noticed the comments. I really should check more often. And this was in reply to Klaatu's comment from a lot earlier about the show.
I was going to... I had the thought in my mind I should remind Mr. X that he could join the comment feed, but I thought maybe it's a little cheeky to do that. Probably not done so for some reason or other, but
maybe he doesn't know that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Just to let people know here, there is a comment feed, that an RSS feed. When comments come in, you can subscribe to it. I actually have that coming into Thunderbird.
Yep, me too. Me too. I get even get alerts to say there's a comment. Mind you, I've processed them before, so it's not quite the same thing.
No. Do you want to do the next one?
Yes. So the next one, Timmy, we're not going to talk about, because we talked about it last month, as you will remember, I'm sure. The next one we didn't deal with was reading audiobooks while distracted from DODD Dummy. And we had made a comment, I think I'd made the comment, about there was a chicken sound in the background of his show.
There was indeed.
And he said, I meant to remove the roosters but forgot. In the Philippines, and there are roosters everywhere. And I think I might have said something like, maybe I just thought it sounds so much like the Far East. I spent a bit of time in Indonesia, and there's damn chickens everywhere, and they're always shouting at very early hours of the morning, etc., etc. So, it was interesting to know that that was the case.
And Windigo says, also distractible. Thanks for the tip. I am also very distractible. I find myself rewinding HPR episodes constantly to catch what I just missed. I tried looping an episode, this one in fact, and saw a real difference in what I remembered. I was curious about the roosters, but don't mind them too much. Perhaps you should just list them as co-hosts the next time. Awesome.
I think you should leave them in. I think it's great. I think a bit of animal sounds in the background is just adds a bit of atmosphere. Brilliant, I loved it.
Okay. The next comment was on the City of Masks, the HPR audiobook club, and Hammer-On said, a second Star Trek reference. As soon as you said Star Trek, it made me think of The Next Generation Season 7, an episode called Masks. In that episode, both Data and Picard wore masks and had alternating roles.
Interesting. Lost in Bronx says, excellent episode. I really enjoyed this installment of the audiobook club. It's great hearing from the author, who was thoughtful and articulate, explaining what sounded like complex concepts and making them clear. I'm really excited to listen to this book, spoilers notwithstanding. Great job, guys.
And there's something here from Clinton Roy.
We've done those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, that comment from Clinton we definitely covered. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always keep overdoing them. You know yourself. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Excellent. Where are we, Dave? We had the... What do we do now? The news feed. What's the
mail?
Name? Mail, yes. Mail thread, yes. The mail thread. Slot reservations was the subject. Ah, yes, 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 yes. And yes, policy change. Oh, dear, dear. Oh, well, there was an error uploading, right? 403 forbidden error. There's a... how do we do it? How do I explain this? I think we explained it before. There's been a tightening down of the shows. So sometimes if you're uploading stuff, you get a 403 forbidden error, in which case you should try and check and see if it's an A to Z character, that you're not loading strange characters in your episode names, or that you're using the single quote in the show notes. No, what was it, the pipe character in your show notes?
Yeah, it's, well,
it's a bit
strange,
yeah.
It's something, the pipe character does seem to be a thing that triggers, but also maybe some Unicode stuff, perhaps? I don't know.
Could be. Basically, suspicious stuff, and that's what happens there. So there was, in the previous month, there had been three requests for a reservation, and the whole reservation system thing goes back to the days when there was no option to pick a slot. You put in a show and then you said, oh, I want this coming out on Tuesday of next week or Wednesday of whatever. And then we had a big, long, complicated way of scheduling the shows based on first come, first serve. But if it was an interview, we'd do this. And it was just far too complicated. Right now, you can go and you can book any show for the coming 3 months on the website. And then in the drop-down list, you can also go any show for the next entire year. And in actual fact, you can book a show way beyond that if you want. That's not a problem. What we want to do is change the policy somewhat so that it goes from all reservations need to be approved in the case where you wish to reserve a particular slot but do not have your meter recorded. You will need to get a reservation approved in advance on the HPR mailing list. And there was some comments about that. Basically, I love the way of, if it's an open slot, use it. If you cannot upload it, ask to lock it. Which actually, no, I said that was what it was in the past. What we're saying now is, if the slot is open, use it. Reservations are a pain for us, so please don't ask us to do that anymore. I think that's a fair summary of what we're saying.
Yes, it is. It is a bit of a nightmare, the whole process of reservation, given that we have now some quite tight time constraints in terms of getting stuff posted and onto archive.org ready for the feed when it starts again the following week, etc., etc. It's all got very, very much more complicated, and the reservation stuff makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, and now we've after this show, I'm going to have to edit it. edit it and upload it straight away so that we can get it out in time. So anyway, the proposed text following comments from RSR, any host can select any free slot for up to a year in advance by recording their show and uploading it to the desired slot. In exceptional circumstances, it may be necessary to reserve a slot while not having the audio available, but this must be approved by the mailing list in advance. Please be sure to allow as much time as possible and include a reason why you feel it is necessary to reserve this slot. This is intended only for exceptional circumstances, such as a scheduled interview where we would like the audio to be released as soon after the event as possible, or to cover an important topical situation that has occurred. Due to the extended time now needed to post shows to external sites, the extra work this entails and the disruptive effect of reservations will no longer be allowing them, except in very rare cases of the type mentioned above. Right, you've been told. Zen, we had, can you upload a show that you were planning to do? Which was my attempt to get the procrastinators out of the thingy. We went very low on shows all of a sudden.
Yes, yes. So it's quite good psychology, I think.
Thank you. You're welcome. And then HBR, Honky had some problems uploading the shows for the New Year shows. And thank you very much, Honky, for doing all that work. Absolutely excellent. I do know how much work it is. Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you very much. And I must say, I really enjoyed the New Year show this year. It was nice just to be able to sit back and chill and just be part of it rather than having to do it. It's absolutely awesome. The same last year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's working out very well.
Josh says a whole slew of IP were blocked and you had some issues, but I think you... Any other business, Dave?
Quick change of tab. I got my new clacky keyboard here, so I was trying not to press
the... No,
I've got a real IBM keyboard here. Wow.
I want you all to know that I filled a skip at one of them at once. No, I didn't. This one, we shipped them off somewhere, but okay.
This one's got an AT Tiny in it, so I can do magic things with it. Oh, I have no idea what they are,
sad
but.
Is that?
Anyway, yes, this was just me. Yes, getting to where I need to be. So we have only one bit of any other business, which is just regarding tags and summaries, which I like to comment on the contributions we've had. We had had contributions from Windigo and from BJB. I did some as well. So we've had 25 tags and summaries added to the database.
Brilliant work.
If you would like to contribute, then there's a link here for doing it. I also modified the page where you go and look to see what needs doing, and added a section which lists all of the tags in the system, which is something like 3,000 at the moment. This was a request. It's a comment from BJB who said it's really hard to know. I'm paraphrasing here. Hard to know what tags to choose because there's no easy means of telling which tags people have already used. There are ways of doing it, but I was looking for when which they could be summarized. So all of them are there in alphabetical order, and each one is followed by links to the shows.
Wow.
So you could go and look at them. It's all one great big blob at the moment, and I'll tidy it up at some stage. But it's hopefully that will help people who are interested.
That's
in
pretty cool,
adding.
Actually.
Yeah, it wasn't hard to do. Yeah, it's just cool. It's just using templating stuff. I need to do a show about at some point. Yeah, cool. So that's it. That's all we have to say on AOB, I think.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to skip the traditional singing at the end due to the fact that I can't breathe. Okay. So
we
tune in tomorrow.
We won't say anything positive about your cough. It's okay.
Oh, that hurts. That did. All right, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
Thanks, Dave. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.